It's been a very good pleasure to be among the wonderful gathering who has come here to worship the Lord, to praise Him, and to thank Him for all the good things He has done in our lives. In today's lesson, let us discuss about a parable that Jesus spoke to His disciples and to the crowd who gathered around. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. So the parable is about a farmer and four types of soils. Before discussing about this parable, we can consider in two aspects. The first aspect is considering us as a soil, and the other one is considering us as a farmer. So let us see one by one. And this passage, we can clearly split it into three parts. The first one is the parable, the actual parable what Jesus Christ is speaking to the crowd, the audience. And the second part is why Jesus is speaking to them in parables. Like He can speak to them directly, but still Jesus uses the way of speech, the parable, to explain things to them. And the third part will be the explanation of this parable, why Jesus wanted to inform them about this and what is He trying to do about this. Let's read Matthew chapter 13 verses 3 until 9. So this is the part of the parable. Then He told them many things in parable, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." So this is the parable that Jesus Christ is talking to the crowd, not only to His disciples, even to the crowd. So what does these four different types of soils mean? We need to see each and every soil, what happened to them, and there will be another part of the explanation later in the passage, what Jesus explains to them. The first seed, the first few seeds which fell on the path, the birds came and ate it away, because it did not fell on the correct place that the farmer wanted to do. But still, it's not the farmer's fault. But still, that particular usage has a different meaning that we will be reading in the later part. And some of the seeds fell on the rocky places where it did not have the proper soil, which is full of stones and rocks. But somehow it managed to grow very quickly because the soil was so shallow. But when the sun came, since the root was not enough for the plant to grow much, it died later on. And the third type of soil, what we are reading here, is it's the soil in which not only the seeds were there, also few thorns, which was not a good plant. It was also growing at that particular place. So this seed, even though it fell on a soil, it grew up, but it grew up along with the thorns, which did not allow the seed to grow very well. So later on, there is nothing much described about it because the thorns will not allow the other seed to grow very well. And the last part is the good soil, where the seed actually produced the crop in the multiples of 60, 30 and 100 what Jesus Christ is describing here. So these four soils gives us a very good lesson for us in our daily lives that we will be reading later on. But before that, we need to go to the second part of the passage where Jesus Christ is trying to talk to them in parables. Even during my early days as a Christian, I have thought about the same question. Why every time Jesus is talking in parables? He can talk directly to them. He can explain them, okay, this is what I am trying to tell you. But Jesus never did it. During the whole life history of Jesus, we can see many times he is speaking in parables. It's a kind of a story that he will try to tell. That the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure and a man bought it. So many examples he will be giving. But I had a question regarding why Jesus is talking about these things in parables. Why can't he speak directly? For that, we have the answer here in the same passage, which I can read from chapter 13, verses 10. Because even the disciples had the same question. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." So Jesus explains about the mentality of the audience. The entire crowd is listening to this, but not everyone understands it. The entire crowd hears and sees what Jesus Christ is doing, but they do not clearly understand what is the intention of Jesus Christ. Because their heart is not very clear, or they are not ready to accept the word of the Lord. Later on, if we read in verse 14, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.'" So here Jesus explains about a prophecy which the prophet Isaiah spoke in the earlier Old Testament part. Because the people's heart is not seeking the God, they are not willing to come to the God, accepting him as their savior, accepting him as the God, that he is the only one who is loving us. So people did not find the opportunity to come to God. So Isaiah writes like, the people do not have a heart to accept God. Their heart is full of fat. They do not understand who is God, and they do not want God. So when they have this understanding, they will come to me, they'll come to the God, and God will heal them. So here we have a very clear passage why Jesus always speaks to them in parables. First thing, the knowledge of the secrets of heaven was not given to everyone, but only for the disciples. But still, he doesn't speak something very complex that a normal, uneducated people cannot understand. It was a very simple text. It was a very simple example that Jesus spoke. But among the crowd, among the audience, not everyone came to Jesus Christ because he was the Son of God. No. Many people expected many things from Jesus, like he gave food for everyone in the previous miracles. He healed many diseases. So not many people came to Jesus with a wholehearted to accept what Jesus is trying to tell, to accept what is the kingdom of heaven. Not many people came. So Jesus explains them, whoever has more will be given more. Whoever has the knowledge, whoever wants to seek the word of the Lord, so he will be blessed more. And people who do not care about it, so whatever is there for them, it will be taken from them. And another example referring to the same passage, we can read in verse 35, the same chapter, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world." So Jesus was trying to fulfill a prophecy. So we can read many prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and all these prophecies has to be fulfilled. So Jesus, another reason why he is speaking in the parable is he is trying to fulfill a prophecy prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. Later on, we can read the explanation of the four soils and the farmer. What is the explanation that Jesus is trying to give? We can read in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So it is very simple that many times we can see many people who hear the word of the God. Like, we cannot tell, no, these people never listened the word of God. No. There have been many opportunities for them. They have been exposed to those opportunities to listen to the word of God by somehow, either by reading a Bible or by reading an article or through a radio or through a television. There have been many opportunities for them to listen to the word of God, but they do not really accept the word of God. They really see, they really can understand it, but they are not ready to accept it. So this is what the first type of soil explains. So when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the Satan, the evil one, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. They may not, so that they cannot, they won't believe it and they cannot be saved. So this is the first part of the soil that we are reading here. And the second one, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word at once, receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecutions comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The second type of person that we are looking here is he who listens the word of God and he tells that he understands it and he accepts it, but it doesn't come from his heart, from deep from his heart. So he may be pretending to be a Christian or trying to show to the world that, okay, I believe in Christ and I believe what the doctrine is, but it doesn't come from deep from his heart. So that kind of a person, what happens when troubles and persecutions comes to him because of the word, he quickly falls away. He doesn't show up again. He just falls away. So even we would have seen these kind of a people as well, who are very happy to hear the word of God. They always come to all the lectures and all the meetings, and they seem to pretend, okay, I am really interested to become a Christian. But after a certain period of time, we don't see them coming to the lectures, and when we try to talk to them about this, and they never listen to you. So this is the second type of people what we can see here. And the third type, we can read from verse 22. The one who received the word that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. Sometimes we also come under this category. We also hear the Lord, but for us, we have our own issues coming along with this. So not only the Christian life, we also have our own families, our own employment related issues, this worldly issues which also come up together. And we are almost confused, like, which way to go on to which we should concentrate. So here we see Not only the seed is also growing, but also the thorn, which is the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth, which also grows along with the word, but it doesn't allow the word to be very strong enough to grow. And the last part, what we are going to see here, is about the verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So these are the four types of soil that Jesus is trying to explain to the audience. And he also gives examples to it. Who are they and what is this I am trying to explain? So coming back to this explanation of the passage, I have a few questions regarding what are these people? Who are they and where are we compared to these four people? In which category do we come? The first question that I can take it out from here is, why couldn't those who received the word with joy, or we can say, what kind of a people do they represent by the seed which fell on the path? There are many people who know about Jesus Christ, about the Lord, about the kingdom of heaven, that at the end of the world there is a judgment day. People who are good enough, they qualify to go to heaven, and the one who is not good, they go to the hell. So many people understand this, but honestly speaking, they just understand it, but they do not react on it. They do not want to do something for it. Okay, I know there is an heaven, I know there is an hell, but what do I need to do in order to go to the right place? But they just don't care about what is going around them. They do not seek to find the Lord. So which makes the work very easy for the Satan to come to them and to remove the word which they have just heard. They easily forget these things, whatever they have heard. And the second part, and the second question what I can infer here is, the seed which fell on the rock places, why couldn't those who received the word with joy, they were happy to receive the word, but they cannot stand very faithful to the Lord. They try to understand the word, and sometimes they do. They understand it. They claim, okay, I really love to become a children of God. And they always show their gratitude and they show their interest in becoming a Christian. But it is very, very short time. They do not continue forward. So they easily compromise with the worldly pleasures, and there is no reaction for the words of the Lord, what they heard. And so they are very vulnerable, they are very weak in faith. They try to have faith, but they cannot continue because they are more concentrated in this world and they want to do something more for this world and not for the Christ. And the third part, what I can compare here is the seed that fell on the rocky places, on the thorny places, sorry. So here I can raise a question, what is that which is not allowing the seed to grow well? So it fell on a very good place because I can see the thorns are also growing there. So that is a place where you can grow something, but it is not only the seed, but also the thorns are growing there. So what is the thorn being explained here? What is it representing here? So this kind of a people hear the word, understand it well, but the worries of the life, their own issues, their friends, their families, their official issues, and all these things, they create a lot of problem for them, or create a lot of confusions for them on which they should concentrate and they should proceed in their lives. Even though they seem to be a bit strong enough, but still the worries of their own life causes a very big confusion and a very big problems in their life. So even here, it doesn't make a very tough job for the Satan to break them. So even he comes here and he sees that, okay, not only the seed is there, but also the thorn is there. So it's very obvious, a human nature, it's like we really feel, or we fall to the thorns or to the problematic situation what we have. But as a Christians, we should stand for the word of the Lord. So that is where we differentiate from this particular scenario. But I can tell you, but most of the times we also come under this category, the third one, because our own problems doesn't allow us to become more and more strong enough in our faith to overcome all the difficulties and to stay along with the word of the Lord. But this is a very good lesson that we can understand here, what Jesus is trying to explain. Just we should be strong enough in faith, and our faith should grow day by day, stronger and stronger. Not only our faith, if we see some people around us who are falling weak in faith, we should also encourage them to become more and more stronger. So this is the third part what we are studying today. And the last one, which is about the good soil. What happened to the seed which fell on the good soil? It's very obvious that everyone will know, of course, you put a seed on a good soil, it will grow well. But it's not only that. Does this mean by accident this crop, this seed grow into a crop? It doesn't require any effort from your part to grow the crop? No. If we can read in Luke chapter 8, verse 15. This part, Matthew doesn't explain it, but the author Luke, he explains what happens to this good seed. If we can read chapter 8, verses 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. So here we see here, Luke explains that it's not by an accident that the seed which fell on a good soil grow into a crop. No, it's by pure perseverance. It's by determination. Like, we need to fight against the evil. That's how the seed produced the crop. In this world, we see Satan many times coming to us, trying to take away from the God or from the word of the God. But still, when we fight against him, when we are so determined, so concentrated on what Jesus Christ or the Lord is expecting from us, so then the word of the Lord, what we received in our heart, it will produce a good crop. So this is what the explanation of the fourth part, what we are reading here. Sometimes we come under this category. Sometimes we overcome our own personal issues. We say, no, God is first for me. Sometimes we do it, but not always. But we should make it as a practice in our daily life, not only in the spiritual life, even in the earthly life, we should always keep God as the first place. So God wants us to be a good soil which readily accepted the word of God and produced a crop in the multitudes of 100, 60 and 30. But this is not easy, and this cannot come as an accident or by any chance, by luck or something. But it needs pure concentration, pure determination, and our will to fight against the evil. So with this, we can surely overcome whatever God has kept for us, what Satan is trying to do, and we can overcome all those difficulties and can produce a good crop, what the Lord is expecting from us. Like I said in the beginning, we are going to discuss about this passage in two aspects. First one, considering us as a soil. That's what we completed now. And the second part is considering us as a farmer. Because when we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, that's the first verse that we read. A farmer went out to sow his seed. 13:3. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Here it says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. So let's discuss the same chapter, the same passage in a different angle. Like, we are the farmer. Why do we need to be a farmer? That's the first question we can ask. Okay. The seed is fine because we have been listening to the word of the Lord all these years, and we have been fighting with the own personal issues, struggles, and after all those things, still we continue to be a good Christian. But what is it to do with us as a farmer? If we can read in the book of 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Sorry, it's 1 Timothy. Sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. I can read from 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So here we can read what the God is expecting. God expects all the men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. God wants all the men to understand what is this truth, what is this knowledge about the truth. But how can we expect our friends, our colleagues to know about God? Can we wait for, let's say, 50, 60 years for them to get an opportunity to understand about God, to seek for God? No. But God here expecting us to go and talk to our colleagues, to go and talk to our friends and relatives, explain them the possibility of who is God, what He has been doing for us. How can we expect our colleagues to know about God? I can tell two possibilities. The first thing is by living a very godly way, a godly life, which we can read in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 16, which says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. By living a very good life, a holy life, a good Christian life, we can show others, see, as a Christian, I am living a very godly life. So people who are always looking at us, they can see, oh, this person is living a very good life. I can see because he is a Christian, he is doing all these things good. So by others looking at us, our lives, they will be praising our Father in heaven. By then, they can also understand who is God and why we are doing like that. That's one possibility. And the other possibility is for us to go and explain to them. So that is what this farmer was doing. He was sowing the seeds in different parts of the soil. But the next question is, okay, how can I identify which is a good soil and where can I seed it? Where can I plant the seed? But it is not up to us. For us, we need to sow the seed. That's all. Where it goes and falls, does it fall in a good soil? Does it fall in a rocky place? Does it fall in a thorny place? No, we don't need to worry about it. But God wants us to first sow the seed. First teach them, first explain them what is the kingdom of heaven, what is the doctrine, what Bible is trying to help us, trying so that we can also gain the eternal life. So it is our job as a farmer to explain these things to our relatives, our colleagues, to as much as possible to all the friends and families, whatever. So when we do our job, it is up to God whether to please them and make them to understand this. It is his job that he will work on them, and if he is willing that they can come and join along with us into this family, he will do it. But for us, we just need to do the job of a farmer. We need to sow the seeds. So this is another important lesson that we can read, we can understand from this part of the passage. So there are two things that we read. One, considering us as a soil, God wants us to be a very good soil, who understands it, accepts it, and stands for the word of God. And the second part, what we saw is, considering us as a farmer, we need to go and sow the seeds, not only in the good soil, in all other possible ways, in all the different people and the places. So the conclusion here, what we can see from this particular parable is, we have heard the word of God since long time before, but sometimes we do not give first preference to God. Sometimes, due to some problems. But God wants us to keep Him as the first place in our life. That's what God is expecting from us. And to achieve this, to keep God always in the first place, it's not so easy. But still, we need to keep fighting. It's again kind of a recurring process that we always trying to fight the evil and always trying to keep the God in the first place. So once we keep God in the first place, then everything is okay. God will take care of everything. We don't need to worry about the personal issues or whatever it is, but always let us give the first preference to God. As I was telling, that this comes out of pure determination, pure concentration to the word of God, because we can read in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. This verse explains about what the Satan is looking for. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So this is what Satan is looking for. Satan is always looking for someone that he can devour. So it is our own responsibility to be concentrated on the word of God, to always keep God in the first place, so that we will always fight the evil against what he is trying to do against us. Amen.
Amen.